Amen. Well, the sermon today is the exact contrast, or the topic of the sermon is a contrast to what we just heard. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. You only need to be strong if you're doing something. If you're simply taking up space, we'll change. Whatever. Nothing. What are you living for? Do you need God's strength for something today? Does he have a call on your life, or are you simply hanging out? This morning, we are going to be examining the fourth of the seven deadly sins, and it's sloth. So there it is, sloth. I'd like to read to you from Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, it's near the end of the Bible, page 912. I'll start reading in verse 14. Follow along or just listen carefully. This is the seventh of the letters to the churches at the beginning of Revelation. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich. In white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord. Do you want to say thanks be to God after that word? So it makes you a little bit hesitant sometimes to say thanks be to God when you reflect on some of the things he has to say. Now, the seven deadly sins we've looked at, pride so far. We've looked at envy. Last week we had a wonderful message when it came to anger. I don't know how many of you saw your sin more clearly this week as a result of that message. And this morning we're going to be looking at sloth. Next week, we'll combine greed and gluttony. And on Palm Sunday, we'll be looking at lust. Do you see yourself in this list? Do you see yourself in that list? I'm going to ask that you would ask the Lord to make it clearer and clearer which of these apply most directly to you right now. Now, notice I didn't say which of these apply to someone else that you see so clearly. But one thing I will say is that if you see any of this list in somebody else, there's a really good chance that they're reflecting you. When we can see sin in others, there's a really good, it's a likelihood that very sin is in my own mirror and is in your own mirror. So when you think of sloth, What image comes to mind? Is it this? This adorable, lethargic animal who's got this really slow heartbeat, sleeps 15 hours a day. No, parents, it's not your child. May look a little similar, I don't know. They're so cute and they just move so slowly. So slowly. I believe that we get the English expression hanging out from the sloth. When you think of sloth, it's like, yeah, I think that's pretty much the image. But you might be surprised to know that as we discuss sloth, this image is actually maybe more accurate. The fitness or the exercise devotion that we have, the hard work that, I mean, that was in the middle of a half marathon, a 13.1 mile run. And I may be smiling for the camera, but that didn't feel all that great at that time. Would you ever consider this to be sloth? Hang on, I think we're gonna see something new. Of the deadly seven, again, we said that sin is denial. It's the denial of God's character, and it's the denial of our nature. See, God is holy and true, and we're not like that, but we don't like seeing that about ourselves. And when someone else points it out, we're really defensive. So again, we're all in this together, and as we look at sloth this morning, I want you to see sloth as living for ourselves alone. And having no care for others or God. See, what makes the runner, whether it's me or any number of thousands that are devoting hours and hours of their lives to running, what allows it to be in the category of sloth is frequently it's all about us. Right? We got to shave that extra 10 pounds off. Or we're going to just try to increase our time just a little bit more. Or if I can just lift a little bit more weight. I mean, a friend of mine asked me directly, it's like, Greg, is your goal to die in shape? Is that what it's about? See, the running community is a wonderful group of people. They're really kind to each other, but it's also a dangerous community. And by the way, so is the church. We can be so excited about our personal salvation in Jesus Christ that we can have an apathy. That's another way of looking at sloth. And all we're excited about is us. God's blessing for us, for me personally, or okay, I'll extend it to my family, or if I'm really magnanimous, we'll include the whole church. How's that? But just this church. Our country is in the throes of apathy, of sloth. How else can you explain the very minimal outrage that over 600,000 babies are aborted every year? Does that bother you at all? 600,000. That every year around the world, 15 million? I don't know if you know this, but in Armenia, 20% of all pregnancies end in abortion. Now, we rightly decry the genocide, but now we're doing it to ourselves. The former Soviet bloc, so the former Soviet Union into the Eastern European nations, the highest rate of abortion in the entire world. And Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Georgia are some of the highest. Vochinch. Pamache? Is it really nothing? Does it matter? Does it matter? How can we, and this is just one slice, it's an awful slice of our world, of our nation, but do you lose sleep over it? I'll never forget in 1983, I had the privilege of serving at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C., and they brought, and it was a bunch of young people, college, post-college, people who were working on Capitol Hill, just who young people who had gathered into Washington, and they invited us to hear a speaker the night before. And I was really excited. Again, I sort of had this illusion of power to be in somebody, and wow, we get to hear, oh, the speaker was Tony Campolo. Ooh, this is going to be great. We're going to listen to Tony Campolo speak. And so he speaks. It's a dynamic message. I'm literally, and I'm not the amen guy, but in my heart, I'm saying amen, amen, amen. And he starts talking about world hunger and children dying of hunger. And he made the comment, and I don't know if the statistic has changed, but he said, 40,000 children are dying of hunger every day. Wow. 40,000 people, children, are dying of hunger every day, and you don't give a... My eyes got really big. But before I could actually take my second breath, he said, and most of you are more upset that I just said than 40,000 children are dying every day. That's apathy. That's apathy because the world revolves around whom? You can say it. Me. And we collectively we say me. How can we not care? Well, it's really easy because it's all about me. It's all about me. This is what sloth is. So whether you want to hang out in a tree or with an Xbox controller or with your phone or you just want to drive by yourself with your music going on or any of those things, or if you want to run yourself into shape, if it's all about me, it's sloth. Did anyone watch the announcement that came out of Apple this week? They announced all these new services. Hey, who watched that? I just want to see if there's anybody besides me. You watched that? And I could have just thrown the phone, I don't know wherever I could have thrown it. They were talking about this new streaming service. And the thing they kept repeating was, there's so much to watch. There's so much to watch, and you can have it all in one spot. Wow. There's so much to watch. Is it my life? Or does it belong to someone bigger than me? Is your life all about you? The church in Laodicea gets slammed. There's no other way to say it. Jesus just blasts them. These are the words of the amen. That means when you know something's going to be true, you know it's God's will, you say amen. So the amen, the one who represents God's will, is calling us to God's will, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Okay, so do you have a perspective where you fit in that? Is this you talking? If it's not me talking, how dare I put myself at the center of the universe? I am not the amen. You are not the faithful and true witness. You are not the ruler of God's creation. Who is? Sorry, I didn't hear that. Jesus is. This is Jesus talking to his people. I know your deeds, and you're neither hot nor cold. Cold nor hot, neither one. Now, this verse has been misinterpreted widely because we anecdotally hear this as, I wish you were hot or cold. I wish you were either on fire for Christ or not at all. Really? God wants people who are not at all? No. We've got to change that picture. This is not being about on fire for Christ. Laodicea was next to Colossae. Colossae was to the east. Hierapolis was to the north. Okay, Hierapolis was known for their hot springs. And if you've ever been to a hot springs or a spa, if you've been to Chernobyl, you know that hot springs are wonderful places. They can be incredibly therapeutic. And at the same time, on a hot day, you really want cool, refreshing water. Well, Laodicea didn't have a hot springs, and they got their water from an aqueduct that was either 8 or 9 miles away. So how do you think that water arrived in Laodicea from the aqueduct, from the beautiful, cool springs of Colossae? It was lukewarm. You want to drink lukewarm in the middle of the summer in the valley? Here, how many times have you been driving and say, I need some water. Oh, great, I have a water here in the car. And you pick it up and it's just lukewarm. And you're wondering if you're being poisoned by plastic. But that's another story. But it's good for nothing. It's good for nothing. And Jesus says to his church, you're absolutely good for nothing. So much so that if you were water, I would spit you out of my mouth. Have you ever had a drink of something and you just spit it out? What's the look that's on your face? It's disgust, isn't it? Now, I need you to walk with me into a very dangerous place, a very uncomfortable place. What is the look on Jesus' face if I am the water that's in his mouth or you are the water that's in his mouth? Does he want to spit us out? Yes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We do have to emphasize the love of God, but not all the time. We can't always feel this warm, sloth-like comfort. We need to recognize that the Amen, the ruler of God's creation, has distinct opinions about those who claim to know him. He says, I know your deeds. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? That he looks at you, he looks at me, and he says, I know what you're doing. I'm not stupid. I am not ignorant. I know you. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. You know, I don't know how many of you imagine Jesus being sarcastic or mocking. But in case that's just out of the realm of possibility, that you would never hear God's voice through the Holy Spirit to you to be one of mockery, I'm going to warn you that Jesus can mock his people. He can get sarcastic and he can be caustic. You need to understand what he's telling the church in Laodicea. They were a banking center. So what's the first thing he says to him, to them? You say we're rich. Yeah. The Wall Street of the ancient world. You say you're rich. We've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. How many of you watched the movie years ago, Family Man? Anybody see Family Man? There's the Nicolas Cage character, and hey, you need any? The angel character comes to him and is questioning him. He goes, "Oh, you need it? I don't need anything. I don't need anything." And his response: "It must be nice to be you. I don't need anything." If you are in that place of thinking you're just, it's all good with you, buckle up. Buckle up, because if you claim Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's going to mess with you. He is going to get in your face and he's going to say, you think you're rich? You are poor. You don't even realize that you're naked. Do you know that Laodicea was known for the top quality black wool? It was the most luxurious natural product that you could get. Didn't have to dye it. And it was this beautiful black wool. And Jesus says, you need to come to me to get some white clothes so you can cover your shameful nakedness. And a salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Laodicea was known as the ophthalmological. Is that the right way to say it? The place for eye medicine. You needed eye medicine. You got it either by going to Laodicea or someone brought it to you from Laodicea. They would put the salve in their eyes and they could see more clearly. It actually helped heal eye infections. And Jesus says, you all think you're so rich. You think you're so nicely clothed. You think you can see clearly. But you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So what do we do? Does this apply to any of us in this room? And don't talk about someone else in your mind. Don't think about someone else. But if you are already thinking about someone else, what I said a moment ago applies. That is probably because they look like you. So whatever it is you're objecting to in someone else, it's probably the same thing that God objects to about you. So what does Jesus say? Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. We don't use this word. Oh, this is an old-fashioned word. Don't say that. That's just so conservative. That's so old school. Well, Jesus is old school because we've got to change our minds about ourselves. The Laodiceans thought everything was wonderful. They thought everything was wonderful. How are you doing? Is everything wonderful for you this morning? Is it just wonderful? Wake up. It's not. It's not. If it's not pride, maybe it's envy, and if it's not envy, maybe it's anger, and if it's not anger, maybe it's sloth. Is it about you? Is your world about you? We need to change the way we think. I've told you about that drive from Chicago up to Milwaukee, where I picked up the hitchhiker, and I picked him up and was trying to share the gospel with him, and I said, you know, we're going to Milwaukee, but, you know, you got to turn around and go to Chicago. I don't want to go to Chicago. I don't want to go to Chicago. No, I don't want to go to Chicago. I want to go to Milwaukee. But you're on your way to Chicago here. You're going to be in trouble. And he goes, yeah, Chicago is just like, and then he said, hockey sticks. And then he said, I don't want to go there. I said, well, are you willing to change your mind? Are you willing to change the way you're thinking? Are you willing to change your direction? Are you willing to repent? And he said, why don't you just let me out here? I said, let me out right here. I said, I think it's illegal for me to drop you off here. He goes, I don't care, man, just drop me off here. See, that's what a lot of us say to Christ when he says, I'm going to discipline you. I'm asking you to repent. And we say, I think I'll be busy next week. And we say no. Do you know it's within your power to say no? How dare God give us that freedom? Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be earnest and repent. If you are living for nothing but yourself, which may I say is nothing in God's scheme, if you're living for nothing but yourself, the deadly sin of sloth and apathy has you by the throat. Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and will eat with that person and they with me. I'm going to hand you a wonderful gift this morning. When you hear verse 20 of Revelation chapter 3, in all likelihood, you see this as an invitation to the unbeliever, that Jesus is standing at the door of their heart, knocking, and if they open the door, he'll come in and he'll bring them salvation. Who is this written to? The church of Laodicea. Now, granted, many in the church may simply be professors of Christ and not true followers of Christ. But I want to give you the gift to know that when you discover that you are in the grip of any of these sins or of any sin, Jesus is knocking. Jesus does not want to abandon you to your sin. He's not looking at you saying, seriously? Seriously? That's what you're going to do? You're going to spend your life running? Is that what it's about? So you can die in shape? Or you're going to spend hours and hours playing computer games? Or you're going to spend hours and hours making thousands and thousands of dollars? It can all be sloth. But Jesus isn't saying, Vochinch, in the inch. He's not saying, I don't care. He's knocking. And he's saying, if you open the door, I will come in and you will have intimate fellowship with me. That is our God. He gets in our face and he knocks. He knocks. He knocks. And he wants us to say, yes, Lord, here, open the door. See, he offers us antidotes to the seven deadly sins. Again, humility, patience, kindness, patience, and forgiveness. See, today it's diligence. It's diligence. And diligence is, where are we here? There we go. Intentionally choosing to live for God's kingdom. Take yourself off the throne. This is the repentance. I am not the center of the universe. You are not the center of the universe. Jesus Christ is. Let him take the seat, the throne of your life. And believe me, you will not be a sloth. Because he will provide opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for you to serve him and to serve others. Are you willing to get off? To get off the throne and let the ruler of God's creation sit in his rightful place? William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. And originally, they didn't just stand in front of stores ringing bells. And actually, they do much more than that even now. But originally, they were some of the most aggressive evangelists for the kingdom of God. They wanted people to hear the gospel and then wanted to meet practical needs of people. And in 1910, so they had their gatherings on Christmas Eve. And William Booth in 1910 was pretty much an invalid. But they said, you know, we've got thousands of workers here. It would be so inspiring if you would send a telegram. But Booth had this attitude that if we have money for the kingdom, I'm not going to waste it on a telegram. But they kept saying, please do something. The people are waiting to hear from you. The people are waiting to hear from you. So finally he sent a telegram, one word. Others. Others. See, when we're caught in the grip of sloth, Jesus is not the Lord of our lives. We're living strictly for ourselves, and we ignore others. Do you know what the motto of the Salvation Army was and continues to be? Does anyone know this? Heart to God, hand to man. Heart to God, hand to man. The antidote for sloth is diligence. It's to daily, intentionally live for the kingdom of God, which says, God, I offer you myself. I offer you my heart. And I offer my hand to the person God sets before me who's in need. Heart to God, hand to man. Are you caught in sloth? If you are, repent. Turn. Give your heart to God and offer your hand to a fellow human being. Amen. Please stand and receive the benediction. Which we need desperately. And now may the God of all grace, who is knocking, who is relentless in his pursuit of us, may he find an open door to your life, into the life of our church, so that we might extend our hearts to him and our hands to others. Don't go in peace. Go in repentance. Amen.